You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Hear these words from Psalm 19. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often one offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then I shall be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. We all have morning routines. Some people wake up and have coffee the very first thing. No talk, no touch, one eye open, and you do not get in their way until after the first sip, second sip, third sip. You just don't mess with those people. And then there are others who wake up grumpy. If you have somebody like this in your family or have in the past, then you know the best thing to do is to hide. I will also offer the opportunity to add them to our prayer list because they are difficult people. And others wake up ready to run, do hot yoga at 5:30 in the morning, bike or some other kind of physical activity and exercise before they get out and face the world. And then there are still others who do miracles every morning. They get themselves ready. They get their children ready. They make lunches and breakfast, do the dishes, and then they feed the dogs and maybe the cat because, you know, everybody knows cats are self-sufficient. And then they get their purse, their keys, the food, everything they need for their work, their kids' school, and then after-school activities and after-work activities. They get it all together, and they get it in the car and out the door. Now, when my kids were younger and we were running late, my son would ask me, Mama, is this a two-wheel day? Talking about the way I took turns going up to the ramp to get it to their school. If there was a vitamin, a morning regimen, a daily exercise, a process that would, one, revive your soul, 2, rejoice your heart. 3, give sight. 4, help us live a long life. 5, 100% pure and true. 100% natural and clean. 100% natural in righteousness. Would you take it? Would you take it? Obviously, nobody would take it. Okay, all right. Now here, thank you for whoever said that. What if it only came in seaweed flavor? Would you take? Yeah, we might have to take it, right? In our psalm, we are told the law, testimony, statutes, and commandments, awe and wonder, and judgments all help to revive our souls, to give wisdom to the innocent, to rejoice the heart, to give light to the eyes, to endure forever, and to bring us into unity. What a deep desire it is to long for this kind of relationship with God. More than gold, not just gold, but more than anything we've ever seen, that fine, pure gold. More than honey. Just plain honey out of the little honey bear at the store is nothing compared to taking it fresh from the hive and tasting that warm honey with a little bit of comb. It's so pure. Have you ever desired something with your whole being? The desire for most of us is followed by an outcome. This is what we desire. This is the outcome. But then there's that third thing that happens called reality. And sometimes it has very little to do with desire and outcome. You have a perfect wedding. That's your desire. You found the right person. You waited a long time, and now you're planning the most special day. Your hopeful outcome is that everyone gets along. No one, absolutely no one, overindulges in rich food or beverages. And the dance floor is full of people having fun and a blast, shaking their feet. And the words you shared with that special partner, "Until death do us part," that is the desire. And then there's reality. Well, I can't sit on that row with those people. And why did you have to invite them? You know, they're really not family or friends. And then there are some of those overachievers in the food and beverage category, and they get really sloppy really quick. And then after the first death in the family, a few months later, all those secrets come out. And old habits destroy the bond and the hope. And after years of one-sided therapy, a divorce is the reality. Maybe you desire to go to college or did go to college and you wanted that degree that you knew that you were made for since you were 5 years old. Mama, I'm going to be a veterinarian. Mama, I'm going to write poetry. Daddy, I want to be an engineer. So you go to college and after 4 or 5 years, you walk across the stage with a six-figure piece of paper. And of course you're thinking, well, I'm going to make at least that in my first job. That is the desired outcome. And then there's reality, student loans and a second job. Maybe you desire to be cured of cancer. You take all the treatments, the radiation, the chemotherapy. You spend hours of your time seeking medical intervention. You do everything they say to do, and then finally you hear those words, "You are cancer-free." The reality? Your hair's not the same. Your taste buds are not the same. Nothing is the same. Your body might be cancer-free, but the reality is in your mind and in your story of your life, there will always be the C word. Now let's talk about our relationship with God. It starts out like the psalm does. Declaring God's glory, one day tells another and another, and one night imparts into another night the knowledge and the love and the majesty of God. You hear it in the majestic ways and see it in the beautiful sunsets that we've had this last week. This is what you desire, to have a day flowing with God, morning to night, night to morning. Flowing with God. Nothing else to get in the way of your focus on Jesus and prayer and scripture and hope, service, and new life in Christ. The outcome can happen in two ways. For many of you, you can feel God doesn't listen to you, hear your pleas, and is too busy taking care of the folks that have it easy to listen to one more time of your sorrows, your sadness, and your sin. Or maybe the outcome of your completely godly dedication ends up being about how the church hurt you. Too much focus on the wrong thing, what you are not, how you will never be, what you have to spend your time and money doing to get it right with God. Sudden changes in leadership that uproot everything are just an emptiness. An emptiness that can fill when we start to believe that our relationship with Jesus is all our doing. We just have to be good enough and right in the right ways in the same breath to have reality equal our desire. But there is another reality, and the reality is you have a desire for a relationship with God. Life gets in the way. It gets in the way. It messes up the waters. It messes up your choices. It makes life so challenging at times. But this is the reality here, that you are loved by God just as you are. regardless of your outcome, regardless of your desire, that fact, the reality of God's love for you, was sealed in the tomb, was taken down off the cross. And there is nothing that any one of us can do to change that reality. Desire and outcome might change, but the reality of you being loved unconditionally will never change. Never. The psalm has something else that we should inquire about. Who can tell how often one offends? I mean, do we wake up counting our sins? I would hope not. There's other things to do. If you need something else to do, I have many ways for you to volunteer. Can you count that high every day? Do you want to spend your energy chopping yourself down, chopping other people down? As the sin in our scripture from the psalm appears to be two different kinds. Ones that we see with our eyes wide open, the presumptuous sins, and others that are secretive. Sins, like the kind James spoke about, describes us as among members of a world of iniquity, stains to the body, set on fire the cycles of nature, and is itself set on fire. Talking about the tongue and what it can do to tear others down. The folks of James were lighting each other on fire with their tongues. We think that's something that happened back in the Bible time, but if you've turned on the news recently, it's a little bit every day. The very things that enable us to curse and bless also enable us to eat the heavenly banquet. And then there's those other sins, those ones that are so secretive that we are so ashamed of that we think God doesn't even know about them. I mean, it's like God can only see the Sunday version of us and not every other day that ends with a Y. We all seem to believe that surely if God knew who we are, what we've done, what we have left undone, God would be done with us. Just done. You would be cast out into the edges of darkness. There is more. Verse 13, let them not have dominion over me. That's what the psalmist says about sin. Whether they're hidden or eyes wide open sin, let them not have power over me. This is exactly what we ask God every time we say the prayer that we begin our worship with, the collect for purity. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. And then again, we'll hear it in the creed, and again and the prayers of the people. And in the peace is the reality of God's love in our lives and pulling us through those times of great sin that seem to have power over us. The reality is God isn't holding it against us. Why are we? How easy it is for us to focus on the wrongs, our sins, and what we are not and what we will never be. I think one of the greatest challenges that we have in our society is this desire to be completely independent. I did it all by myself. I can do it. I don't need any help. We think we can do it. And our culture teaches us to be solo in a world of many. But then here's the reality. Without God, we are not able to please God. So the desire to be independent of God is that, a desire. But the reality is that we move and live and have our being in Christ. We start there, we end there, and everything in between is a part of God's reality and a part of our reality in God. We have all these desires given to us to revive our souls, to be wise, to rejoice in our heart, to be able to see, not only with our eyes, but with our soul, to live a long and fruitful life, to be 100% true, to be 100% natural, to be 100% in right relationship with God. No matter the outcome of your life, the reality is you are with God and God is with you. And as the prayer that I say every time I begin a sermon reminds us all that let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our Lord, my strength and Redeemer. The reality is that God is your strength and your Redeemer. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.